At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, we did mention on the show yesterday how in Germany, people were being offered free public transport if they surrendered their driving license. This prompted the perhaps predictable response that if such an idea was enacted here, it might work in Dublin or Cork City, but everywhere else doesn't have a public transport system that's good enough. Nonetheless, the climate and environmental researcher Sive O'Neill is giving up her car and she lives in Waterford. Afternoon, Sive.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Describe what kind of public transport is in Waterford.
Well, Waterford has reasonably good public transport. We have a train service, obviously, that connects us to Dublin, to Houston Station, and there is a not very frequent daily service also to Limerick. But we also have buses that come through the city heading to Cork and I believe to Wexford. I haven't used those myself. And I live in the city centre, so I usually go everywhere by bicycle. And we, of course, have a fantastic greenway between Waterford and Dungarvan. So depending on where you need to go and what you need to get, if it's a kind of a practical task you're trying to do, like go shopping or do an appointment or something, most things are on a bus route or are within cycling distance for able-bodied folk like myself.
Right. And for people who mightn't be able-bodied, for people who might have to go and do the big shop, or for people who might have to bring the kids someplace, what do they do if they don't have a car?
Well, I suppose I can't speak for everybody else, but I have three nearly grown up daughters. So I have cycled literally or metaphorically through various stages of car ownership and dependence throughout my adult life. As a student, I cycled everywhere. I also used the buses in Dublin extensively. I didn't learn to drive until after my first daughter was born. I was about 31 years of age. And then for job reasons, I had to drive quite a lot. I ended up living in the outer kind of suburbs of Kilkenny, where car dependency was a real thing. And we became a two-car family. And then more recently, I moved to Waterford, where I'm right slap bang in the city centre within walking distance of at least three supermarkets. And I mean really close by. And they also have a cycle lane pretty much outside my door, with very few convenient parking spaces. So a car is no longer an asset to me and it's no longer necessary. But of course, I've been through periods in my life when it was essential and when I did drive a lot, either for work or because I was bringing my kids to and from things. And you know yourself, if you have kids of different ages doing different activities, finishing school at different times, that's when cars are incredibly convenient because you have to do the same trip multiple times and it would really take all afternoon if you were doing it on foot.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm not suggesting that what I'm doing is, you know, something that people can just flick a finger and a switch and make it possible for them in their lives today. It very much depends on where you live and what stage of life you're at. Not everybody needs a car and drives very often, even when they have a car. So you have this very valuable but depreciating asset sitting outside your house 24/7 that you're only using maybe 10% of the time. So it's taking up valuable space. It's a costly thing to maintain and insure. And if you have repayments, you have those as well. So for me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. It costs more to have the car than I'm getting the benefit from it. So I might as well trade it in and buy myself a nice bicycle.
Yeah, but also, but also, and you make this point in the piece you have in the Times today, that close by to you in the car parks and supermarkets, you can hire a go car or a Yuko. Now, explain what that is for people who don't know.
Yeah, so people will have seen these cars that are turning up in parking spaces around the country, or certainly in the cities. So GoCar is a car sharing service. You sign up as through an app. You give them some car driving license information and off you go, basically. You can hire one of their cars then at fairly reasonable rates for either by the hour or for a half day. If you were going to need a car for more than one day, it seems like the traditional car rental service might be better value. I haven't compared it because it just depends on what you need it for. But the difference is that with a car rental, you have to go to an out-of-town location usually to pick up and drop off the car, and usually between certain hours of, say, between 9 a.m. in the morning and 5 p.m. or something like that. And that can be a bit restrictive. So the advantage of the car sharing apps is that the car that you're going to rent, you can book it online through the app, and then you literally just walk to wherever there is one parked. It's pretty much like the bike hire apps that you will have used in Dublin or in many other cities. It's as simple as that. It unlocks itself automatically. You hop in, you get a certain amount of free fuel, I think, and you pay over 50 kilometres. You pay a surcharge of, I think, 50 cent per kilometre. It works out at about 10 euro per hour to hire the car. So if you only ever needed it to do a big shop once a week or the odd trip to the seaside, you could see how you would save money over owning your own car. If you needed your car every day to get to work, this is not a cost effective solution. For the occasional trips when you don't need the car every day, it's just for the odd thing. This kind of solution could become much more popular, and it's a fantastic way to remove cars from our street, not just the traffic, but the parked cars as well. I mean, that's my vision.
But yes.
It might take a while to come about.
Yeah, because I suppose people kind of don't take into consideration, if the car is sitting outside your house, it's still costing you money, even if you're not driving it.
That's right. Now, I was looking for the data on this, and the AA used to have a survey of how much it costs to run a car. But the most recent information I could get from their surveys was from 2019. Now, I don't think things have changed that dramatically, because even second-hand cars have maintained their value and are even more expensive now. So they reckoned in 2019 that it cost anywhere between 6,700 and 15,700 to just own a car and maintain it, insure it, tax it every year. And that's before you put any fuel in it. So when you work that out, that is a huge amount of money that you're spending when the car is just sitting in the driveway. So now, for some people, they don't have the option. But for me, when it is an option, I can spare myself that cost and think about the car sharing service, not as a desperate measure that I have to waste money on like a taxi, but as something that's very cost effective alternative that doesn't mean I have to lose out on any opportunities to go to the seaside, or if the weather is absolutely awful, that I don't have to get on my bicycle to, cycle 5 kilometres in the rain. You know, there is an alternative to car ownership that will work for a lot of people. Interestingly, Sean, when I posted this article up on some of my social media sites, I got lots of replies from people who'd already done this some years ago. And they swear by it. Like, for them, it's a huge saving. It's completely practical. You might have to plan your trips a little in advance. And, that's just a kind of mindset change. You don't have the thing sitting outside in the driveway. So you have to think about your journey to make sure you can book the car for when you need it. But there's always ways around it. I mean, you and I probably grew up at a time when hitching and car sharing was really normal. Yeah. And that isn't anymore. People don't do that as much because we take car ownership and one's own ownership of a car for granted as a kind of status symbol. But it's not necessary. You know, there are other ways to organize ourselves, and we have to think about mobility services in a much more broad-minded way, beyond the idea of owning our own cars and even owning our own e-bikes, because we'll be able to hire those as well much more easily.
Yeah. Did you, having said all of that, did even you find there was a psychological hump you had to get over in that, that little bit of, I might need the car for some emergency if I get rid of it?
Yes, I do. I do find it. So the big change is happening this weekend when I actually release the car
back into the wild.
And whenever I get kind of a wobbly feeling in myself, and bear in mind, I hardly ever drive at the moment. I hardly ever use it. Mm. It's that sense of a security. So I remind myself that the car share is 200 meters from my house. It's 200 meters away. So it's just in parking terms, the vehicle that will take me comfortably from A to B is just 200 meters away if I need it. And I have to be prepared to spend the extra, what seems like extra money on the car share app. But that's just the cost per journey. And I don't have all the other overheads. So I will be much better off.
Yeah. And this weekend, have you a buyer for your car? Because a few people are texting and ask what kind of a car she is and is she taking offers kind of thing.
Well, my car is actually a very economical car. And in you know, I know my mother, if she was listening to me, would be like, "You're mad. Don't be selling that. That's a great car to have." It's a small Toyota hybrid Auris. So it's a very good, reliable, small, efficient car that, you know, hasn't cost me a fortune. It would be in the bottom band, I'm sure. It's certainly the lowest tax and all the rest of it. But that's not the point. Mm. The point is it's sitting there depreciating. And, you know, I don't need it. So I'm very happy to take the money for it.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Sive, thanks a million for talking to us today. And best of luck with all that. That's Sive O'Neill there, the climate and environmental researcher.
Moncrief on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.